बराबर है। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरि वरधारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजना यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजना यमुना तीरवन चारी। जय राधा माधव। जय राधा दामोदर भगवान की जय। कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम जय राधा दामोदर राधा दामोदर राधे। जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा। जय श्री हरि राम संकीर्तन की जय। श्रीमद् भगवद गीता की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञाननिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो टुडे विल बी कंटिन्यूइंग फ्रॉम द डिस्कशन ऑन सेवेंथ चैप्टर भगवद्गीता नॉलेज ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट। आई विल क्विकली समराइज फर्स्ट 19 वर्सेस दैट वी सॉ यस्टरडे। फर्स्ट कृष्णा एडवाइसेस अर्जुना दैट मय्यासक्त मनः पार्थ योगं युञ्जन् मदाश्रया असंशयं समग्रं मां यथा ज्ञास्यसि तच्छृणु। फर्स्ट हियर अबाउट मी एंड देन यू विल बी एबल टू अंडरस्टैंड मी असंशयं विदाउट एनी डाउट समग्रं कंप्लीटली कंप्लीटली वी सॉ यस्टरडे। कंप्लीटली मीन्स टू द एक्सटेंट डिवोटी कैन अंडरस्टैंड कृष्ण टू दैट एक्सटेंट कंप्लीटली बिकॉज नोबडी कैन अंडरस्टैंड एक्चुअली कृष्ण कंप्लीटली। And when one understands Krishna completely this way, then one is able to take shelter of Krishna, yogam yunjan mad ashraya. And one takes shelter of Krishna and engages in bhakti yoga, then he becomes mai asakta mana partha. He will quickly reach asakti stage by performing sadhana bhakti asakti. Next stage is bhava and then is prem. And then Krishna mentions that this knowledge that I am giving you, hardly any human being is interested in self-realization. One among thousand is interested in self-realization, spiritual knowledge. And among thousands of such people, one understands Krishna by coming to Bhakti Yoga. So that means a devotee is one in million, according to Krishna's calculation. And then Krishna says that I have these energies, first the Bhinna Prakruti, Ashtadha, eightfold energy of Krishna, which is Bhinna Prakruti, Bahiranga Shakti of Krishna, Bhumi Rapo Nalo Vayu, and then apart from that I have this Para Prakruti, superior energy, which is Jiva Shakti, and this Jiva Shakti is the reason why this whole world, material world is created, so that the Jiva Shakti gets an opportunity to rectify itself and then travel his way back home, back to Godhead. And then Krishna mentions that there is nothing beyond what is beyond my energy. Everything is resting on my energy. Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. Nothing in this entire existence is aloof from me. Just like the pearls, the beads of the pearls cannot hold together until and unless there is thread inside. So similarly, without Krishna, this entire world will not sustain. And then Krishna mentions, not only that I am the sustainer, I am with in my energy, I am also the essence. Like the taste of water is Krishna's energy, and the light of the sun is also Krishna's energy. So why Krishna is revealing this? This is Krishna's great compassion, that since our mind or the sadhaka's mind or the mind of a conditioned soul, it's very difficult to fix on Krishna. It wanders here and there. So therefore Krishna says, wherever your mind wanders, there you can remember me, because there you will find my energy. Just like Prabhupada was one time asked by one of his disciples, how is Krishna related to this material world? So Prabhupada mentions, how do we deal with this material world? How do we remember you seeing this material world? So Prabhupada said, these are my spectacles. If I leave them here, what will happen? If you look at them, what will you see? Or what will you think? So the disciple said, oh, I will think that these are Prabhupada's spectacles, and I will be respectful towards them. So Prabhupada says, yes, similarly, this material world, when we see, when we deal with, we understand that it is Krishna's energy, and therefore we deal with it respectfully and engage it in Krishna's service, knowing that to whom this material world belongs to, and not try to exploit it for our own sense gratification. So this is, Krishna then mentions that we are discussing 7th chapter summary. I mean, we'll try to cover it. Yesterday we saw first 19 verses, and today we will see verse 20 onwards. So I'm just summarizing the first 19 verses of 7th chapter. Then Krishna says, I am the strength of the powerful, I am the austerity of the austere, and all the three modes are resting in me, but they are not in me, they do not affect me. They come from me, but they do not affect me. And if everything is dependent on you, if everything is your energy, how come people are not aware of it? Why people are not able to understand that everything is your energy, if you are everywhere? So then Krishna says, Tribhir Gunamayir Bhavait. That means, although I am everywhere with my expanded energies, still people will not be able to know me because they are bewildered by three modes, the Sattva, Raja and Tama, and therefore it's like a kind of threefold blindfold. So so if that blindfold is there, although Krishna is maybe present everywhere, but in the form of as a Paramatma or even as his energy, still nobody will be able to recognize him until that Maya Javanika Channam, that Maya Avaran is removed from our eyes, we will not be able to see Krishna. How to remove that Avaran? So Krishna says, Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratya Mame Vaye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. So he says, Mam Eva Ye Prapadyante. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, Mam Eva means Shama Sundara Akaram. Shama Sundaram. Mam Shama Sundaram. That means the Krishna of Vrindavan. Although of course here the Krishna is speaking, he has come to Dwarka, and then you know he is arranging the war between the Kauravas and Pandavas. But very interestingly, if in Laghu Bhagavatamrut it is mentioned that same Vrindavan Krishna in Bhauma Leela, he covers his identity as Nanda Nandan Krishna and presents himself as Vasudev Nandan Krishna. This is Laghu Bhagavatamrut, I think 5th chapter, something like text 165 or something. So where he says, where Rupa Goswami explains how the logistics of Bhauma Leela work. So where he says that actually it is Vrindavan Krishna only who goes to Dwarka covering his identity as Nanda Nandan Krishna and presents himself as Vasudev Nandan Krishna. Of course, the in spiritual world, the Dwarka Leela, Vrindavan Leela and Mathura Leela are completely separate. There is no interconnection. But in Bhauma pastimes, that means when Krishna appeared 5000 years ago, or every day, once in a day of Brahma, when Krishna appears, then there is a time continuum in Krishna's pastimes. That means Krishna does in one form go out of Vrindavan, covering his identity as Nanda Nandan, and presents himself as Vasudev Nandan. And that is the reason why even he is able to remember his pastimes with gopis, his pastimes with Nanda Yashoda. Otherwise, if there is no connection between Vrindavan Krishna and Dwarka Krishna, even in Bhauma Leela, how could Dwarka Krishna remember his pastimes in Vrindavan? You can't remember somebody else's experience. Or you can't experience, or you cannot remember something which you never experienced. Right? So it is mentioned in Dwarka that he is remembering Radharani, he is remembering Nanda Yashoda, he is remembering his friends. So how is it that he is remembering? If he is simply the expansion of Krishna in Bhauma Vrindavan, we are saying, in above Vrindavan and above the Dwarka, above Vaikuntha, the Leelas are separate. There is Vrindavan Krishna in Vrindavan, Dwarka Krishna in Dwarka, who is expansion of this Vrindavan Krishna. But in Bhauma Vrindavan, it is mentioned, Bhauma Vrindavan pastime, same Krishna goes outside, and therefore he is remembering also, and therefore he is sending Uddhava also to send message that please don't feel the
don't feel morose, and like he gives them, he pacifies them through Uddhava, in Uddhava Sandesh. So this is explained by Baldev Vidyabhushan in his commentary to Laghu Bhagavatamrit. So Mam Eva means Sham, remember Shama Sundar Krishna. And then of course any form of Krishna, any avatar of Krishna, if one surrenders, he will definitely be freed from Maya, no doubt. But here Krishna is personally telling that surrender unto me. That means Shama Sundar Krishna. Very interestingly, here some Mayavadis, they say that it is not that to unto Krishna one has to surrender. It is something unborn within Krishna, which is Brahman. So Prabhupada mentions that this is just ridiculous, because there is no inside and outside for Krishna. He is the one absolute truth. Na antarna bahiryasya. In Damodar Leela, this verse comes. Na purvam na pichaparam. There is no antar bahir for Krishna. So whatever is inside, his Krishna's soul, Krishna's body, Krishna's form is are all absolute, and they are equal to each other. Krishna's name. So some Mayavadis, they say that, you know, that one has to surrender to Brahman, not Krishna. So there is one commentator, Vedanta Desikan. Vedanta Desikan is in line with Sri Ramanujacharya, and he says that with this explanation, which of course the Mayavadis give in Sharirag Bhashya, so Vedanta Desikan says that Bala api haseyuhu, that even the children will laugh at this kind of explanation. The way they have presented, Krishna is saying surrender unto me, they are saying surrender unto Brahman. So Vedanta Desik says any child will laugh at such explanation, he is saying. And then Krishna then says, okay, what kind of people do not surrender unto me, and what kind of people do surrender unto me? This is text 15 and 16. Text 15, Krishna mentions, Namam duskritino mudha prabhadnyante naradhama maya aparata jnana asuram bhavam ashrita. What are those people who don't surrender unto me? Those miscreants, either mudha, that means pashutulya karminaha, that means those who are fruitive workers, who are working like as to, you know, just concentrating on their physical needs. So they are mudhas, they do not have time for Krishna, or they do not feel a necessity to surrender to Krishna. Then naradhama means those who are lowest of mankind. That means Prabhupada mentions those who are socially and politically developed but have no religious principles must be considered naradhamas. So they could be very socially sophisticated and etc., but still they will be called as naradhama. Maya aparata jnana means although they may be learned in scriptures, but because of the Krishna vimukha vritti, that means not wanting to surrender to Krishna, and Krishna says ye yatha mam prabadyante maya metan tarantite, so although they read scriptures, they don't understand the message of scriptures, and they don't surrender to Krishna. Asuram bhavam ashritaha, these are the outright demons who don't surrender. Outright demons means just like Jarasandha and others who were outrightly against Krishna, or in modern days those who try to misinterpret Krishna's words by bad logic. This is Vishwanathachakra Thakur mentions. They are also asuram bhavam ashritaha, those who misinterpret Krishna's words and mislead themselves and mislead others also. So they are asuram bhavam ashrita. And then who are those who surrender unto me? Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukruti no arjuna arto jidnyasur artharthi jnani cha bharatarishava. So four kinds of mixed devotees who surrender unto me. And then in the beginning, first verse was Maya Sakta Mana Partha. These are pure devotees or pure practitioners who surrender unto me, and they will attain the Asakti stage, Maya Asakta Mana. They will advance in their devotional service going through nishtha, ruchi, and then finally come to asakti stage, and just few steps away from bhava and prem. So these are maya sakta vana partha. So these are the pure devotees and or pure practitioners having pure intention. And there are four mixed devotees. First three are karma mishra and last one is jnana mishra. Artha jidnyasur arthaarthi is karma mishra and jnani mentioned here is jnana mishra. Of course different commentators have given different commentaries. According to Ramanujacharya, this jnani is not jnana mishra devotee. This jnani is bhagavad jnani, that means he knows about Krishna and he surrenders to Krishna. So according to Ramanujacharya, first three are mishra bhaktas, last one is pure devotee. But it depends like how the acharyas see the verse. All are bona fide understandings. So among them, tesham jnani nitya yukta ekka bhaktir vishishyate. Those who are now here, Vishwanacharya Thakur says, those who were jnani before but now they have surrendered to Krishna, giving up the process of jnana, they are very dear to me. And another meaning is the plain meaning, jnana mishra bhakta is devote, I consider him equal to myself. Then somebody may ask Krishna, oh, jnana mishra bhakta you consider equal to yourself, what about pure devotee? What do you consider pure devotee? So Krishna says, of course he is greater than me. So jnana mishra bhakta is equal to me, but pure devotee is greater than me. So this is very, one pastime I heard. You know, Bharat, when Lord Ram was exiled to the forest, he went to Chitrakoot. When Bharat came from his place of grandmother, then he found out that, my mother did all this plotting against Lord Ram. And then he said that, today onwards, you are not my mother. And then he asked Vasishtha Muni and others, let's go to Chitrakoot and let's bring Lord Ram. So Vasishtha says, no, how can I say, he will not listen to me because he has given his word. He will not sway away from his word. So Bharat Maharaj finally, Bharat convinces all the Ayodhya Vasis and with few of them he goes to Chitrakoot and he meets Lord Ram and he presents many arguments to him. You have to come back. Dasharatha Maharaj has planted a seed and that seed has grown into a tree and it is about the time that the tree will bear fruit and you are about to cut that tree, he is saying. So why Dasharatha Maharaj is holding our father? Why did he undergo so much of trouble to raise you just so that you will handle the entire kingdom? But now you are saying, no, I will not come. So then Lord Ram gives his paduka. He says that, okay, you take my paduka and you become my representative and keep this paduka on the throne and then you can think this way. So now why did Bharat Maharaj agree for this proposal? Right? Why did he settle for this negotiation? That okay, instead of Ram I can take paduka. So there is one paduka sahasram written by Vedant Desika. So in that he mentions that that if you want to take something on loan or relieve something, you have to give something which has keep something which has higher value as mortgage. You can, like, if you want to have if you want to borrow, let's say 50,000 rupees, then you have to give something like 60,000 rupees worth gold or something as mortgage, and then you can get something of lesser value. So Lord Ram has to relieve himself, so he has to give something higher to Bharat. So what is that higher thing? He gave his paduka, and Bharat Maharaj, Bharat settled for those padukas because this is something more valuable than Lord Ram, because the paduka represent Lord Ram's devotees. So it's kind of, Lord Ram is going to take my devotee and relieve, I will relieve myself. So here Krishna is also saying the same thing, that I consider my devotee, pure devotee, greater than myself. So he is more valuable. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. So again, Krishna himself considers that his pure devotees are greater than him. Prabhupada mentions that, do you want to be God or do you want to be greater than God? Right. So in the last verse that we discussed yesterday, Bahunam janmanam ante janavan mam prapadyate vasudevaha sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. That means, if a Jnanamishra bhakta, by his yadruchik bhakta sangha, that means by his great fortune, if he comes in association with pure devotees after many many lifetimes, then he will upgrade himself. Otherwise, Jnanamishra bhakti, he will keep continuing and finally he will attain liberation or mukti in Vaikuntha, but he will not get prem until he comes in contact with some pure devotee. So yadurchik bhakta sangha, that means the fortune by which one meets a devotee. So once Prabhupada was in London, he was on morning walk, and the devotees were walking with him, and he showed his cane. There were some row houses, and he showed his cane towards the row houses, and Prabhupada said, one day by their good fortune these people will become devotees. So one disciple was little confused, because he was thinking, what does good fortune mean? Is it kind of some rolling of a dice or something, like, you know, okay, you roll a dice and if certain number comes then they become devotees, or how it works? So he approached Prabhupada and he asked, Prabhupada, you mentioned by their good fortune they will become devotees, what does it mean? Like, you always say that nothing happens by chance, so how is it that by good fortune they will become devotees? So Prabhupada looked at him and he said that, you are their good fortune. That means if you preach to them, then they will become devotees. Like, so yes, from their side it is good fortune, from your side it is planning, or for devotee's side it is planning. So something like that, when we say that, oh, in ashram whatever comes by its own accord we accept. So okay, from our side we think that whatever comes by our own accord, but the kitchen department doesn't think that whatever goes by its own accord, let it go. So they have to plan, and they have to plan ahead. Tulsi Priya Prabhu is here. So they have to plan ahead, and they have to think what I am going to send or something. But on the receiver's end, the receiver should think that, oh, whatever comes by accord, it is Krishna's arrangement, that I will accept. So this is clear from text 19. So now we'll continue with text 20. Kamaistaiste rutagyana prapadyante anyadevatah tam tam niyamam asthaya prakrutya niyatasvaya. So Krishna already told those who surrender unto him, those who don't surrender unto him, and those who surrender unto him. What about those who surrender but not to Krishna, but to some demigods? So their case is mentioned here from 20 to 23. So Krishna says that they are called as rutagyana, that means they are aware of scriptures, but they think due to their own miscalculation, misunderstanding, or niyataha prakrutya, that means dushta pravrutti. Vishwanathacharya Thakur writes, only due to dushta pravrutti they do not surrender to Krishna, thinking that, oh, sun god can give me health, but Vishnu cannot give me health, something like that they think. So therefore intelligent person is the one who surrenders to Krishna for no selfish motivation. Only motivation is to please Krishna. Krishna sukhaika tatparyam. But second level of intelligence is those who have material desires and do not want to give them up, but they still surrender to Krishna only for even for fulfillment of those desires. Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Udarati means intelligent. That person is intelligent, that even for material desires he will approach Krishna only, and more intelligent will be the one who doesn't have any material motivations in surrendering to Krishna. So, and anyone less than that, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that there is Vaidha life and there is Avaidha life. So this is let's say human plane, and above this human plane is Vaidha life, legal life, and lower than that is called as illegal life, Avaidha life. We can also see it as Daiva and Asura. This is human plane, this is Daiva, this is Asura. What characterizes human life? The faith in scriptures or following the scriptures, that qualifies him to progress in Daiva Guna, like, you know. So now this plane, above that is Shastra Shraddha. Now Shastra Shraddha is of three levels: Karma Shastra Shraddha, Jnana Shastra Shraddha, Bhakti Shastra Shraddha. So there is a hierarchy there. So Karma Shastra Shraddha means they will follow Karma Yoga. Jnana Shastra Shraddha means they will follow Jnana Yoga. And Bhakti Shastra Shraddha also has two divisions: Mishra Bhakti Shastra Shraddha and Shuddha Bhakti Shastra Shraddha. So those who are performing Mishra Bhakti, they are at this Artha Jidnyasu Arthati Vijasa, and above them are Maya Sakta Manapartha or Mahatmanastu Maam Partha Daivim Shakti Prakritim Ashirita. They are on that level. So Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga must also have a little tinge of Bhakti. Bhakti means the devotion towards Krishna, a very little tinge. Not with a great understanding or great motivation, but little tinge. Then only they will be qualified as Shastra Shraddha. So Karma Shraddha, Jnana Shraddha, Yoga Shraddha, they are also kind of Guni Bhuta Bhakti. Above that is Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. That means Bhakti mixture of Bhakti is more. And above that is Kevala Bhakti. Like that. And so Shraddha Bhakti. And below this plane are Avaidha Shraddha. So they follow their own swabhav, current swabhav. Whether it's sattva gun, rajagun or tamagun, they follow their own swabhav. And above them, whatever their swabhav might be, but they adhere to scriptures. Human life means adhering to scriptures, or daiva life means adhering to scriptures and molding our life according to scriptures. So below that means Devatantar Upasana, is also actually comes in Avaidha life. Because what does Krishna say? Yepi Anya Devata Bhakta Yajante Avidhi Purvakam. Avidhi Purvakam is again Avaidha. Same root. Avidhi Purvakam Avaidha is the same. Of course, below that there are even further degradation, like falling down to Rajagun or Tamagun, that is even lesser than demigod worship. Just one point I wanted to make, that there are Karma Shastra followers who are above human, who are at human platform, who are also called as Daiva Prakruti. They also sometimes worship demigods, but they are not called as Devatantar Upasakas, because they know that they worship particular demigods, but they know that Vishnu is supreme. So therefore they are not called as Devatantar Upasakas, although they also worship demigods. Does it make sense? But those who don't know that Vishnu is supreme, and they consider devatas to be independent gods, so they come in under Avaidha Shraddha, because Avaidha life, illegal life. And of course, this discrimination is not to minimize anybody, but but to understand that how they could be elevated. So it's this discrimination Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives out of compassion and not kind of minimizing or belittling some people. Rather, when the diseases and their intensities are explained in a medical college, it's not to judge a person but how to treat that person. What is a proper remedy that could be recommended to him. So then he mentions that not only that, if they want to worship somebody, some demigod, then I only make their Shraddha fixed in them. So even the demigods do not have the capability of motivating their devotee towards making them convinced that their worship is correct worship. You know, that also is done by Krishna only as Paramatma, that okay, you want to worship Indra, okay, you can worship Indra. I will make your faith firm in him, like that. And then he gets those fruits from those demigods he worships. But then Krishna says, antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavati alpamedhasam devan devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. So one may say, oh, this is injustice. How can Krishna do this? Right? Because if somebody has material desires, he is worshipping demigods. And if other somebody, he has material desires, he is worshipping Krishna. How come this person has antavattu phalam? That means perishing fruit. And how come the other person has non-perishing fruit? Because other person will not only get heavenly planets and other things, but by performing Pradhanibhut Bhakti, Mishra Bhakti, he will also get liberation. He will also get Mukti in Vaikuntha. So how come they have Shashwat position, all the having material desires, and how come these people, poor fellows we can say, how come there is injustice? So Krishna says, no, there is no injustice. They want to worship those demigods, so they will go to their planets. And those planets are not Shashwat, so what can I do? The planets are not Shashwat, so they will not stay there for long, right? And on the other hand, those who are Mishra Bhaktas, by my grace, they will reach my planet, and because my planet is Shashwat, therefore their result will also be Shashwat. So it is perfect justice, it's not injustice. So, simply doing Pradhanibhuta Bhakti, one will get Vaikuntha Mukti, but one will not get Prem for Krishna. For that, one has to perform the pure devotional Sadhana Bhakti only. And there are further who are even still further more unintelligent. Who are they? Avyaktam Vyakti Mahapannam Manyante Mam Abuddhayaha Param Bhavam Ajananto Mama Vyayam Anuttamam. So those who are others who think that I was unmanifest before and then I was manifest, these are abuddhaya, because they believe that something comes from nothing. Right, there was nothing and then something came. So mostly most of the Mayavadis think this way, that the incarnations of God do not have actually forms, but they accept some forms just to fulfill their mission, and they again become formless. That's their understanding. They think that all the forms which are visible must be generated by illusory energy. That's what they think, and therefore something formless can only be real. That's what they are thinking. But that there is a serious flaw in this logic. First of all, when they say that something is illusory, there has to be something, a real counterpart of it. If they say that this form is illusory, if you say that this note is fake, this particular note is fake, How do you know that this note is fake? Because you are aware of what is real note, or some 500 rupee note. If you say this is fake, then there has to be a real one somewhere. How can you say that the water in the mirage is false? Because you have experience of real water, then only you can say that this is false. There cannot be a false water without there having a real water somewhere. So therefore, there cannot be a false form until there is some real form somewhere. So those who think like that oh, something came out of nothing, there is second big flaw in this, which means that absolute has something lacking which the relative has. Yeah, so that is another second big flaw. So how can you, so first define your absolute. If you are defining absolute as the source of everything, then it cannot lack, at least in principle, what the effect has. The cause cannot lack the attributes of effect. So in that sense, they suffer many other flaws, but these are the two main flaws. So because I cover myself by Yoga Maya and I cover them by Mahamaya, therefore he is doubly covered in that sense. And therefore he is not seen by anybody, or only up to unto them whom Krishna reveals himself can see him. Naham prakasha sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavritaha Mudhoyam Nabhi Janati Loko Mam Ajam Avyayam. So I am never manifest to foolish and unintelligent. So foolish and unintelligent doesn't mean materially foolish and materially unintelligent. It means spiritually envious, envious of Krishna. So they don't understand Krishna, because we know that the pastime of that South Indian Brahmana who was reciting, who was also foolish and unintelligent, but he says, Viprakahe Murkhami Shabdartha Najani Shuddha Shuddha Gita Padi Guru Ragyamani. But then Mahaprabhu says, then why are you crying if you are not able to understand, if you don't know what is Shuddha and what is Ashuddha? That means, how come, what, seeing which verse are you crying? So he says, no, I am seeing that Arjunera Rathe Krishna Shamala Sundar, the beautiful form of Krishna holding the reins of Arjuna's chariot. So I am crying seeing that how Krishna is ready to take any position to serve his devotee. So seeing that, I am crying. So then Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kahe Gita paate tomarai adhikar. You have the eligibility to understand Gita. Tumi ye jani le artha se Gitar sar. Whatever you have understood, that is Gita's sar. So it's not, he's not talking about mudha, doesn't mean materially unintelligent, but rather it means spiritually unintelligent or adamant to accept Krishna. To such people, Krishna is never, Krishna doesn't reveal himself. Then Krishna mentions that even those who have high sattva can also not understand me. What to speak of those who have subjected to rajogun and tamogun. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kashchana. So I know everything, past, present and future, but those who are bewildered by modes, they cannot understand me. So I'm just trying to, I'll just refer to a commentary by Srila Vishwanatha Thakur. So please pardon me for a moment. So we will try to see a little bit of Srila Vishwanatha Thakur's commentary here. Okay, so Srila Vishwanatha Thakur is mentioning here. Okay, so Maya cannot bewilder Maya's own master. Therefore, this Maya which bewilders everybody cannot bewilder me. And and therefore, I know everything. But people don't know me. So, it's interesting that Prakrut people are bewildered by Mahamaya and Aprakrut people are bewildered by Yogamaya. So, none of them can understand Krishna. One sort of people, they are losers by not understanding Krishna. And other sort of people, they are, you can say, winners by not understanding Krishna. because in one sense, Krishna also doesn't want to remind himself that he is Supreme Lord in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't like to think himself to be Supreme Lord. Only when a Leela requires his Aishwarya Shakti manifests, does its task, and again Krishna is free to behave what he wants to be, which is son of Nanda Maharaj, son of Mother Yashoda. And so the question is, what is the reality? Krishna being son of Mother Yashoda is the reality of Krishna, is Supreme Personality of God, and that is the reality. So here we see that there are hierarchy of realities. At one level, Krishna being Supreme Lord is reality, but above and over and above that, Krishna being Yashoda Nandan is higher reality. Because what is reality after all? Reality is what pleases Krishna is reality. So if something pleases Krishna more, that is higher reality. So being a son of Mother Yashoda is what pleases Krishna, and that's true also. Then it is higher reality than any other realities. So that's how, even though his bewildering energy may also, the Yoga Maya may bewilder Vrajavasis, but that bewilderment is higher boon than knowing Krishna to be Supreme Lord. Okay. So then next verse says that what is the root cause of not knowing Krishna? Ichha dvesha samutthena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. So ichha dvesha is being ati asakta in the ways of this world. That means too much interested in enjoying this world. So therefore Vishwanatha Thakur writes here that na nirvinno nati sakto. Devotee needs to be na nirvinno nati sakto. Not to attach, not to detach. That means not to detach in a sense that he throws away the baby also with the bath water, as they say. You know, so but not so attached that he forgets that everything is for Krishna's pleasure. So that is too much attachment. And too much detachment means not using anything to serve Krishna, or not understanding the relation of Krishna with anything. It's basically Falgu Vairagya. So when they are engrossed in Ichha Dvesh, when one becomes Krishna Vimukh, one forgets the identity that I am Krishna's servant, first thing that binds him is avidya. The avidya causes him to forget that I am Krishna's servant and gives a pseudo identity which is called as asmita. Asmita means anything other than I am Krishna's servant. So a soul cannot remain without identity, so therefore he needs to have some identity. If not real identity, then some fake identity. So this Maya gives him fake identity in the form of Asmita energy, she gives him fake identity that, okay, you are such and such. And that identity has to be sustained. So what sustains that identity? Ichha and dvesh. Oh, I like this, anything material. So that gives the fertilizer to that identity, that waters that identity. And I don't like this, that means, again, it's the same other side of the same coin. So I like this, I don't like this. That means I choose things based on my material identity, and I repel things based on my material identity. So based on these identities get nourished by Ichha and Dvesh. And finally it leads to Abhinivesh, means absorption in that likes and dislikes. But very interestingly, this can be used to springboard our Krishna consciousness also. Same phenomenon which, same way something wraps us, same way it could be unwrapped also. Right. So now we can have, so because of the avidya, we had wrong asmita and wrong ichha dvesh and wrong abhinivesh. So same can be countered. So now we can, when we hear from Krishna, we are getting this spiritual vidya, vidya vadhu jivanam. And then we have right kind of asmita. Who am I? Kairava Chandrika Vitranam. The spiritual form, it becomes manifest. Spiritual identity becomes manifest. And Ichha Dvesh are based on Anukulyasya Sankalpa Pratikulyasya Varjanam. What is good for my Krishna consciousness, that I like. What is not good for my Krishna consciousness, that I don't like. And which easily gives one inspiration or facilitate one's smaran or absorption or abhinivesh, right? So same thing works if we use that the entire process in spiritual paradigm, then the same thing works equally powerfully or more powerfully rather. So Krishna is revealing this that the way avidya, asmita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesh work, it's not that we just know our disease with a good diagnosis and become frustrated or become disappointed or depressed that, oh, now I know exactly what my disease is. But that is not for depressing ourselves, but rather to know what is the correct treatment and act upon it. So then he mentions that Krishna mentions that those whose sins are on the side of vanquishing, yesham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam drudavrataha. So punyakarmanam here doesn't mean the pious activities. Punya karmanam here, many understandings are given by our acharyas. Punya karmanam means that one comes in association of pure devotees and renders service to them. Punya tirtha nishevanat, we have heard in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that gives him, that as a side product, destroys his sins and makes him more, destroys his anarthas, brings him to nishtha, and then he can serve in drudavrata. Nishtha means drudavrata. So anartha nivritti is gone and he comes to nishtha. So that is what is mentioned in this verse. Just like Jiva Goswami mentions that anartha nivritti is not our focus actually. Our focus is serving Krishna, bhakti, yes, artha pravritti. So he gives a very beautiful example. If you want to cook sweet rice and if you are using traditional stove, so in traditional stoves you use wood as a fuel. So what you are interested in is cooking sweet rice for offering bhoga to Krishna. But as a byproduct, you get ash from the wood also. So our job is to see that the wood is burning, and our focus should be that that the milk doesn't get burnt or something, like, you know, and it properly boils and is converted into sweet rice, and we should not so much bother about how much ash is being generated. Why? So this generation of ash is like anartha nivritti, which is a side product. But nishtha ruchi is the main product, that is like sweet rice. So if you focus on making sweet rice, then automatically the ash will be produced, and okay, you can use that ash for, I don't know, washing pots or etc. So that can be done. So yes, it has its utility, but that's not a reason why we cook sweet rice for. That's a byproduct, a useful byproduct, and should happen if somebody is following the process. If somebody is burning the wood, then ash will be produced. So it won't. It is not that we should be too much concerned about. So, and then the last two verses, Krishna mentions another type of devotees who serve Krishna, or let's say engage in Krishna's service for liberation. So this is end of chapter 7, and now we are entering into chapter 8. So I won't be entering into many technical details. There is lot of details about what is Brahma, what is Adhyatma, what is Karma, what is Adibhuta, what is Adideva. So I am skipping that because so how could Krishna be known even at the time of death? I'll focus on this aspect. So 8.5, antakale cha mameva स्मरण मुक्त्वा कलेवरम यह प्रयाति समद्भावम याति नास्त्यत्र संशयः. At the time of death, whoever quits his body remembering me alone attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. So now a little discussion we would like to have here. Okay, so the question is, if we remember Krishna at the time of death, do we directly go to spiritual world? That is the question. So what is it? We will share our opinions and then we'll see what the conclusion is based on the scriptures. So what is our understanding? If we remember Krishna at the time of death, do we go back home, back to God? Straightly we get spiritual body and then we go to Vaikuntha. Is it like that, or is there something else? So just I wanted to make it a little interactive, so therefore I'm asking this question. Yes.
Where Lord Krishna is performing his Bhauma Leela, and there he get trained to the gopis, and then after quitting that body, directly he goes back to the.
Okay, this is mentioned in the Raghavartma Chandrika. I will just repeat what he is saying, but is it true for everybody? So for a Raga Bhakta, when he quits his body, when he reaches Bhava stage and quits the body, remembering Krishna, then he gets next birth in Bhauma Vrindavan, where Krishna is performing his pastimes to further progress in his training from coming from bhav to prem, and then from there he goes back home, back to Godhead. Okay, so this is for Raga Bhakta, specific to Raga Bhakta, because he wants to go to Vrindavan, Vraja. And that too, when he reaches bhava stage, his next birth he gets in the womb of a gopi, or as a gopi or as a gopa. Like, you know. So that's okay. So anyway, so what about in general? I am asking. Yes, Prabhu.
I'm glad you raised this question because it is creating some churning in the mind. See, there is this verse, no? Ajamilopi akaddama kimpuna shuddhaya grinam. Mm-hmm. So I used to think earlier that, okay, Ajamil chanted Narayan. Mm. So if I remember Krishna, whatever material desires are there, mm-hmm. we'll go back to Krishna's world. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, there are verses in the CC also that Bahu Janma Kare Yadi Shravana Kirtan Tabutona Pai. So we may chant for many this, and then at the time of death, because of the practice whole life, you know, we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So we may just say Krishna, but if I have not been free of material desires, then Krishna mercifully may give us birth so that we can fulfill those desires and realize that I want nothing but only Krishna. So it is not simply remembering Krishna, but with what mood I remember Krishna.
Yes, thank you so much, Prabhuji. This is a key point, a very, very key factor, which we will elaborate further in our discussion. But this is a key actually, that with what mood we are remembering Krishna. Now my next question is, let's say we do not have material desires and we remember Krishna. What happens to us? Do we go to the spiritual world directly? So again, I will use Prabhuji's key factor to present to the next arguments. So what is our understanding? Is it that simplistic that, okay, let's say that a practitioner, a pure devotional practitioner, maybe having anarthas but no material desires. So there is a difference between having anarthas and having material desires. Having anarthas means he has material desires but he is ashamed of them, and he thinks that I don't want them. So he's struggling with them. Okay. And having material desires like a Mishra Bhakta means he goes for it. He said, okay, I want this. This is his prayojan. And for him, he identifies them as obstacle, although may not be able to overcome the obstacle, but he identifies them as obstacle, where he thinks that obstacle is my goal. Something right? Like some hurdle race, if he thinks that the hurdle is the finishing line. So if the runner thinks that this hurdle is the finishing line, there is no chance that he will even move further that, you know, obstacle, because he will collapse upon that hurdle and say that, oh, I am the winner, and like that, something like that. Anyway, so what happens if he is pure devotional practitioner and he chants Hare Krishna or remembers Krishna at the time of death? Does he go back home, back to Godhead? Now, how do we understand this? Okay, so I will just mention few case studies from which we will only come to the conclusion.
One thing I remember, I can say, no?
Yes, please, Prabhu.
Because you have kept it for discussion. So I'm remembering that. So let's say you are saying a devotee is sincerely practicing.
Yes.
And he wants to get free of his anartha.
Yes.
And he is like struggling, you know, I don't want this, and then he is dying and he remembers Krishna. Oh. But if he is remembered with this mood that I don't want these material desires, he is not actually, he is not leaving his body remembering, he is not saying, Krishna, I want to serve you. You know, then how will he go back to Krishna's abode? He may become, I don't want to speculate that he will become an impersonalist. But our goal is, Krishna, whatever you desire, you know, even if I don't, we don't even want to go back to Godhead actually. If Krishna wants us to, I remember Anandam Prabhu, you know, always is saying, I and Anandam Prabhu have had a lot of discussions on this. You know, it's an intense discussion, not exactly Shastrik what you are saying, like what you are saying. So I would tell him, you want to go back to Godhead, but what if Krishna says, I've challenged him, you know, sometimes. Well, Krishna says, no, you'll be in the material world only. He says, no, then I'll accept Krishna, no, I want to please Krishna ultimately. So back to Godhead, you know, when you say, will you go back to Godhead, I feel that is not up to us, in the sense, if we want to serve Krishna, you know. And then remembering Krishna also is not in our hand, actually. Yadi vatadi doshena, what is that? Yadi vatadi doshena.
I will remember him, he says, Varaha Puran verse.
Yeah, Varaha Puran. Aham smarami mad bhakta. So Krishna will remember us even if you don't remember him.
Kashta Pashana, something like that verse. Yeah. Krishna will remember. So thank you so much. Actually, Prabhuji only he gave another key factor here. So which is actually, you want to say, Mataji, something?
Actually, Prabhu, we don't know what our condition at the end. So, as Kulshekhar says, Krishna tava pad pankaj pankajante vat pit and kaf, we don't know, we can remember even you. How it is possible for a person who is doing sadhana, okay, but not seriously remembering Krishna. What is his, well, you can say the destination.
Okay, yes. So, Mataji, is that a question or comment? Like, question, okay. Now some, we will see what Srila Prabhupada mentions here. A very simple thing which we must have heard many times. What does Prabhupada say? If we leave our devotion, leave innocence, leave this body, when we have completed 50% of our devotional service, what happens next life? We start with 100% or 51%, yes. So that is the key factor. As Brajhari Prabhu also very nicely mentioned this, I am just rephrasing what Prabhuji mentioned. So, if a devotee comes to a nishtha stage and leaves his body, he's not leaving the process, he's leaving the body. Then next life, whether he remembers Krishna or doesn't remember Krishna at a time of death, immaterial of this, he will start from nishtha stage in the next. So Krishna is kind. He says, Mad Bhavam. That means whatever bhav you left for me last life, you will continue with that same bhav. And which is also very hope-giving, that whatever devotional service we performed, neha bikrama nashosti pratyavayana vidyate svalpam apyasa dharma se trayate mahato bhayat, we will be given another opportunity, many opportunities, so that we can advance in devotional service and gradually advance from nishtha to ruchi to asakti. How many lifetime it may take to come to the prema stage, as Prabhuji mentioned, with what quality are we? If we are chanting nishtha naam at the time of death, like, are we saying that at the time of death means exactly when the pranas are leaving the body? Or what happens if he chants nishtha naam on the day of his death but not at the time of his death? So it doesn't matter. The gist of this is, if by practice we have reached nishtha stage, then we'll continue from nishtha stage. If by practice we have reached anartha nivritti stage, a particular level of that, then we'll continue from anartha nivritti stage next life. And that is what is clear even from Bharat Maharaj's example. He left at bhava stage, he got a deer's body, but in that his consciousness was very clear. If you read Bhagavatam, that verse, it says that deer left his body remembering Krishna. Did that deer go back to God? No. The deer got another greater opportunity with greater love for Krishna as Jad Bharat. But he progressed from Jad Bharat's, in his Jad Bharat's life, and then he attained Krishna's abode. So now this is very instructive case study, so which says that yes, deer remembered Krishna, but it's not that he went back to God directly, and it doesn't matter also, because he is having what he is supposed to have, which is bhav. As Prabhuji mentioned, it's all that we require is, and what is bhav? Intense desire to serve Krishna. That is bhav. Masrunita swanta. The heart becomes softened with the intense desire to meet Krishna, serve Krishna, and have loving exchanges with Krishna. That is bhav. As Prabhuji mentioned, having the service attitude, and with that, if one remembers, and if one is fortunate enough, whether performing Vaidhi Bhakti or Raga Bhakti, if one is fortunate enough, of course, both will have different destinations, but the process will be the same. If we are fortunate enough to be blessed by devotees and to be blessed by our endeavors, that we come to bhava stage, then from this, one is transferred to Bhauma Vrindavan to come to prema stage, and then one goes to Nitya Lila Pravishta or becomes Parishad, Premavat Parshadatvam. He becomes Parikar of the Lord. So this key factor, if we understand, then it's all Krishna consciousness is full of hope. So, and we are not in a kind of a kind of very simplistic understanding that okay, if I just remember Krishna at the time of death, then I go to spiritual planet. So it doesn't work like that. Even Narad Muni, he had a darshan of Krishna only after he reached the prema stage. He gradually, otherwise what is the requirement for Rupa Goswami to elaborate the entire stages of devotional service, if simply by remembering Krishna with whatever mood one goes back home back to Godhead. Simply he has to die with remembering Krishna with whatever mood, right? Say if he goes to spiritual planet. So therefore there is a gradual from 9 stages, or actually these 9 stages are expanded into 14 stages by Vishwanathacharya Thakur. So there are 14 stages one has to go through. Of course we are not talking about direct Krupa Siddhi where Mahaprabhu is touching somebody and he gets prem and the dog goes back home back to Godhead. So we are not talking about that exceptional cases, because Jiva Goswami also calls them as exceptional cases, right? And they happen only when Mahaprabhu is directly present on the earth and then he embraces somebody. Or very extremely rare cases, most of the devotees do perform sadhana and then go back home, back to God. So, this is a little elaboration on this fifth. So, I hope this is a fruitful discussion, I hope. Any comments or questions by any devotees? Or we will go to the next verse. Yes, Prabhuji, please.
Asking, I'm commenting so much and asking, but you know, you were speaking in the earlier part of the class about demigods. You are saying that, you know, there is a difference between devotee who accepts Krishna as Supreme Personality of Godhead and still goes to demigods, and a person who accepts as demigods and Krishna is equal and goes to.
Yes.
So I think that answers my question, because I had one doubt, not exactly doubt, but I wanted to ask your perspective on this. There is one sannyasi, Madhva Sampradaya, pure devotee of Krishna. He took sannyasi in 1972, and I have seen him since I was a kid in Udupi. And in his, from his mouth, 24 hours, he only keeps saying Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. He's purely Krishna conscious, serves Krishna from morning till night, only sleeps 4 hours in the night. His name is Vishwapriya Tirtha Swamiji. Very, very beautiful, amazing devotee of Krishna. And is that Sampradaya also, you know, bona fide. So one day I took Anandam Prabhu to meet him. And Anandam Prabhu, and you know how his nature is. And he asks questions very intensely. So if somebody doesn't know him, that person will think that he is actually troubled. Anandam Prabhu, he loves Krishna. He has no problems in life, actually. But you know, when he asks questions, it Samnewala will think that, oh, maybe bahut pareshan hai. So he said, Maharaj Swamiji, thank you. Mind is troubling so much. And how to control the mind? Mind trouble. So that he asked. So that Swamiji's answer, I made me happy, but he got bewildered. Because Swamiji said, oh, so you are chanting 16 rounds every day? So he said, yes, I chant 16 rounds. Then I said, no, he chants more than 64. He chants, you know, every day. So then the Swamiji said, okay, whatever, it's okay. Then you chant every day one round of Om Namah Shiva. I was like, what? I was happy because, you know, then Anandam Prabhu was shocked. He said, no, I'll chant more Hare Krishna. He said, no, you chant 16 rounds only. Your son is there, no? When your son settles down, after he is married, then you chant more. Till then, you chant only 16 rounds. Spend time with your family, business, everything, and chant one round of Om Namah Shiva. So he just couldn't accept it. Finally, he said, but why? You know, Hare Krishna is enough, no? He said, yeah, Krishna is everything, but Modi is Prime Minister, but he only appointed Amit Shah as Home Minister, no? So if you go to him with some problem in Karnataka, he will send you to Amit Shah. So similarly, Krishna only appointed Rudra. So if you have problem in mind, you go to Rudra, because Krishna only appointed that. So then after that discussion, Anandam Prabhu, of course, he didn't accept that answer. Everything else he accepted, and he chanted more Hare Krishna. But I got this understanding that if we have problems, we may have to do Shani, Yajna, this, you know, all those things. Do we have to do it? So this question has not been resolved, but today kind of you resolved it by saying that we are not exactly like the demigod worshippers. Would you like to elaborate on this, something from Shastra, Hare Krishna?
Definitely, very thought-provoking question. So demigod worship, I mean, let's not say demigod worship, let's say worshipping personalities other than Krishna, great personalities other than Krishna, who may be demigods, rishis, whoever. So now worshipping them, or the material in charges of, so demigod is the term for that, because I don't want to stamp a demigod worship with, because it has many different genres within. Demigod worship can happen at 4 levels. The one level we discussed was Devatantar Upasana. That means you don't consider Krishna to be, you don't know Krishna or Vishnu to be supreme and then you go to the demigods, consider them as independent gods, worship them. This kind of worship will keep the devotee within the material world, of devotee of that demigod. Of course, he is not doing even Gunibhuta Bhakti. He is worshipping, let's say, Devatantar Upasana it is. Technical term is Devatantar Upasana. If he is doing Devatantar Upasana, then he will stay in the material world only. Probably come to Sattvagun sometimes, but again fall down to Rajagun and Tamagun. So this is Devatantar Upasana, because he is falling in a Avaida Shraddha life. Okay, let's to be just use one example, concrete example. Let's say Lord Shiva, because you mentioned somebody worships Lord Shiva thinking him to be independent demigod and doesn't care to know that Vishnu is supreme, and he'll be approaching Lord Shiva like Ravana or others, like, you know, who also approach Lord Shiva, like, or maybe not that worse, but but still it's Avaida Shraddha. So this is one level. What is their destination? They will stay in the material world. Sometimes Sattvagun, sometimes Rajagun, sometimes Tamagun. Nothing better than that. Above level, which comes in a... somebody is worshipping Shiva as a karmanga of Gunibhuta Bhakti. In Karma Yoga also, there is a recommendation to worship Indra, worship Surya, worship Shiva, knowing Krishna to be the Supreme. Okay, so this particular devotee is not called as Devatantar Upasak, although he is worshipping demigods. His destination is that he will attain Swarga or Moksha, depending on whether he is finally the fruit of Karma Yoga he will get. That means he will attain either Swarga or Moksha. This particular person who is performing demigod worship as a part of Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is a Karma Shastra. Karma Shastra means little bit of Vishnu Bhakti and lot of demigod worship. So, like even if you see the manual for Ganesh worship, you will find some, in the beginning they will chant Om Keshwayanma, Om Narayanama, Om Madhavayanama. Like, you know, they have to do this, and then they will chant Ganpati's name, and like, you know, in that. In a bona fide Ganesh Puja, I am saying. Bona fide in a sense, scriptural, where Ganesh is seen as the representative of Krishna. So that is called as Karma Yoga, and one does it for to gain material gains in this, which is called as Sakam Karma, or a Karma Yoga. Nishkam Karma Yoga means aimed at liberation. So he will get that. Okay. Above that, okay, now we are discussing two levels. Okay. Above that, if somebody is approaching Shiva, is he knows that Krishna is supreme, and he approaches Shiva as a Vaishnava. So that doesn't, according to Jiva Goswami, in first canto, second chapter at towards the end, Vishwanathacharya Thakur mentions that, and even Jiva Goswami mentions that such person who approaches Shiva, it's like reading Rudra Gita, like from fourth canto. He is not seeing Krishna separate as a. He is not seeing Shiva as independent from Krishna. So such person, there is no Shuddha Bhakti Hani. That means there is no Shuddha Bhakti Hani. Means he is approaching, just like somebody may approach some Vaishnava. He is approaching Lord Shiva. So there is no Shuddha Bhakti Hani in that. With that understanding, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. With that. And then there is fourth level, which Nitya Siddhas do. Like Gopis worship Katyayani, Gopis worship Gopishwar Mahadev. So they worship Gopishwar Mahadev, it comes in Kavi Karanapura. But that particular aspect is a part where the Nitya Siddhas think that they are Lokavat Leela Kaivalyam, it is mentioned. They don't think that we have spiritual bodies. They don't think that we are greater than Vaikunthavasis. The Vrajavasis think that, oh, we need something, we approach Lord Narayan, or we need something, we approach Mother Katyayani, who is also representative of Lord Narayan. We need something, we approach Lord Shiva, who is also representative of Lord Narayan. And they perform worship to Gopishwar Mahadev. Radharani every day performs worship to Gopishwar Mahadev. And Surya also, Suryadev. So here two understandings. One, the Gopishwar Mahadev and Suryadev are pure devotees trying to serve Radharani's lotus feet and Gopi's lotus feet by accepting kind of service from them. So actually they desire dust from lotus feet of Gopis, but they kind of take a role of, okay, you are serving us, so they do the service of accepting service to them, so that your leela becomes third one is sadhaka is doing. If it's not if sadhaka is doing, like, it's not that it's of course Lord Shiva has to be respected, but he is approaching Lord Shiva, let's say, but knowing him to be Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu, this is third level, it doesn't tamper with his pure devotional service. And the fourth one is not for a sadhaka, it is Nitya Siddha and not to be imitated by anyone. So they approach Lord Shiva to bless Lord Shiva, actually, in that sense. Because Lord Shiva wants the dust from Vrajavasi's lotus feet. Like, you know. And so that is at Nitya Siddha level where they approach Mother Katyayani or Lord Shiva to have Krishna as their Kanta, like that. Nitya Krishna Nitya Sangamartha Padma Bandhu Radhika. What does Radharani do? Mayam Atma Pada Padma Dasya Dasu Radhika. So Krishna Nitya Sangamartha. Now Radharani is not dependent on sun god to bless her with Krishna Nitya Sangam, but it adds to the flavor of the pastime. That, oh, Radharani thinks that, oh, I don't know when next I am going to meet Krishna, so maybe I will worship sun god and he will bless me that I will meet Krishna. So that is the fourth level. This is the highest level of, you can say, kind of pseudo demigod worship, but quote unquote demigod worship. So or I was just yesterday reading Nanda Maharaj goes to Ambikavan and worships Rudra, and after that he's captured by Sudarshan the snake, and then Krishna saves him, so that there he worships Lord Shiva, Nanda Maharaj. Or even there is one pastime where Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida Devi, they go to Kamyavan to worship Kameshwar Mahadev so that they can have a daughter who is more beautiful than Lakshmi. So then they get Radharani as their, now they are Nitya Siddha mother and father. They don't require even Lord Shiva's blessings to have Radharani as their daughter, but it's a beauty of the pastime, you can say. This is four level. Now, now based on Adhikar, now we'll come to complete the answer. Now based on Adhikar, if one is already doing pure devotional service, then to those devotees who are known to be pure devotees, those demigods who are known to be pure devotees, if he approaches for blessings, that doesn't tamper with his pure devotion. Like he goes to Gopishwar Mahadev, he goes to Mahadev temple, he goes to Katyayani. Both Katyayani and Gopishwar, both Durga and Lord Shiva are very well known to be pure devotees. So those demigods who are known to be pure devotees, if one approaches them for the desire of having Krishna in their, more Krishna in their life, so then it doesn't tamper with their devotional service. And if Krishna suggests, like Krishna told Arjuna, worship Shiva for Pashupatastra, worship Durga for gain in the victory. So just before Kurukshetra war, Arjuna is worshipping Durga. And even before that, he is worshipping Shiva. But that has to be ordered by somebody, like Krishna or Krishna's representative. This kind of, for getting, of course, Arjuna will use Pashupatastra in Krishna's service only, but that has to be ordered by somebody. I mean, he cannot whimsically do that. And now, coming to other demigods like Shani and others, so now they are not known to be pure devotees. They are known to be Karma Mishra Bhaktas. So approaching them may tamper, and most of the times will tamper with one's pure devotion, right? So instead of that, it's better if one has problems, better approach Krishna only then. So it depends on Adhikar. So this is the fine point here, which discriminates between the different levels. So I think we will, it's already 9:32, and so thank you. I am really grateful to Vraj Vihari Prabhu for his contribution. And no. So we will end here. And next speaker, probably Gauranga Darshan Prabhu, will continue with text number 6. Thank you so much. Jai Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.